Miami twice rather than Miami Vice. You're tuning in to the Forecast F1 podcast after a Miami Grand Prix sprint weekend where we had two McLaren wins and actually two McLaren 1-2s. And I'm here to talk about it with the two other hosts of the Forecast F1 podcast. First of all, Samantha, how are you doing? How was your weekend and what did you think about the race?
Well, I guess it's even better now after I hear that introduction, Miami Vice. Twice. I like that. The weekend was great, of course, very filled with F1, which definitely is always a fantastic weekend, and a really strong McLaren dominance. So lots to talk about, as we always say.
And we're also joined again by Savannah. You've been absent from the podcast a couple of episodes, but it's great to have you back on and to have you here to talk a little bit about the, well, not only about the race, but also about the sprint. Of course, it was a sprint format. What did you think about, have we ever picked your mind, or what do you think about sprints?
Yeah, I think we have spoken about it in the past, but in all honesty, I'm very much one that enjoys a sprint weekend. And yeah, looking at the Miami weather, it was kind of mirroring mine once again, except I'm starting to head into the colder months of the year by me in the South African region. So I'm starting to bundle up in layers just to keep warm and kind of stay awake. But I suppose that's besides the point. I mean, I wasn't here for two race weekends, but the podcasts that covered the races on Bahrain and Saudi were absolutely amazing to listen to on my commute to work. So props to you guys for holding the fort. But yeah, I'm glad to be back and I cannot wait to dive into this weekend that's just passed.
All right. I guess that there's not much left then to first dive into some forecast statistics, because as you may have noticed, last time we switched up the format a little bit and we're continuing on that same path. So let's talk a little bit about forecast statistics. So we start off with talking a little bit about the amount of players that we had this weekend. We had 1,405 players, slightly less than we have had during previous weekends. And I feel that it has a lot to do with the sprint format, blind predictions, predicting before FP1. Not all of us are fans of it. I am, actually, personally. Yeah, we first look at how many people got the podium predictions correct, both for the sprint and the race, so that we can set who kicks off with the quiz later on. So I'm going to go to the sprint first, obviously. And my question there for all of you is, who predicted the podium exactly in this order, with, of course, Norris winning it, Piastri on P2 and Hamilton on P3? Sam, how many people out of 1,405 went with that?
I'm going to go with 52. I think the Lando Oscar would be pretty high, but Hamilton, I regardless of the outcome, I would definitely say that that was a surprise.
Yeah, I definitely think Hamilton was a bit of a wild card. But I'm going to go a little bit lower and say 43.
All right. Well, it was indeed not the highest outcome. It was actually only seven people that went with the sprint podium. Oh. I guess there was quite a few people who went with the two McLarens, but I guess not too many would have expected the Ferrari up there. I saw, actually, I think Savannah, if I'm not mistaken, in the sprint prediction, you had the other Ferrari there on the podium. You had Leclerc on P3, but it turned out to be Hamilton. So yeah, so seven people means that Savannah, you're close to the right answer. It means you will be going first in a quiz. But I'll also ask both of you, what do you think, how many people had the race podium predicted in the order that it finished? So that was Piastri on one, that was Norris on P2, and it was, of course, Russell who also ended up on that podium. Savannah, how many people do you think predicted that out of 1,405?
Well, I think those three that did make the podium in the end are currently, for most people, the top contenders on the grid. So I'm going to say it was quite a high number and safely say around 377.
Okay, well, if my sprint prediction was my race prediction, it would have been a really nice weekend for me, because I had Russell in the sprint actually as P3, I believe. But with that being
said,
so
did I actually.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Somehow that doesn't shock me
because we both.
We seem to always have very similar predictions.
But you did outscore me quite a bit. We'll get to that later. But
Oh, I can't wait. Okay. So I'm going to go with 123,
and it was 64. So that means this one is for Sam. So that means with the quiz on the sprint, Savannah is starting and Sam is starting with the race. So we got that nice mixed up. It's going to be interesting to see to see you go head to head on those two quizzes. But I'll also tell you a little bit about the average points scored. So the average point scored during the sprint for Forecast was 14.8. And the average points in the race was 47.9. So that gets us to a total of 62.7 as an average score. That's fairly high, I would say.
Yeah.
Of course, with the two McLarens winning both races, it was somewhat predictable, I would say. But of course, that doesn't mean that the race itself was as predictable. I mean, a lot of things happened, so we'll get to that. But let's first see who out of everyone scored the most points and got on that podium. And actually, we'll see a very, very big coincidence. But we'll start with P3. So we had Jake Racer from the United Kingdom on P3 scoring 104.8 points, getting 21 points in his sprint and 83.8 in the race. And on P2, Tobias Brands from the Netherlands scoring 106 points. He scored 23.3 in the sprint, very, very high. And and with the race totaling up to 106, but there was one person who scored 106.4 points, and that's Tara Patel from India. And this is where we get to the really big coincidence. Tara won the Miami Grand Prix for Forecast last year as well.
No way.
No ways.
What are the odds?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was really quite surprised because Tara actually switched this year. She previously played under the German flag, and she switched to India. I knew that she had won a previous Grand Prix, so I started looking into the history of Forecast, and then I started scrolling, and I saw, and I said, okay, yeah, she won that one, and wait, that was the Miami Grand Prix last year, so yeah, what are the odds, indeed.
That's very cool.
That's crazy. Well done.
Yeah, Tara scored 22.5 points in the sprint and 83.9 in the race. And with that got to P1. So very impressive to win a Forecast weekend two times in a row. There are very, very few of us who have managed to do so. And I was quite shocked with that. I'll later publish also a little bit of an overview. Who are the people who have ended up in the podium more than one time, so at least two or three times? I think there's only one person, that's Arnaud Krenovsky from Czech Republic, who has actually finished on the podium three times, and I think he's the only one in the history of Forecast F1. But anyway, let's move on. We also look at the at those that won in our collaboration league. So we have a collaboration with DRS Lane, which is a F1 merchandise shop in Beirut, Lebanon, and they give out a $10 voucher to the highest scoring Lebanese player every weekend. And this weekend, finishing on P7 with 102.3 points, that was Joe Rustom. I think Joe has won this prize previously as well, so he's also doing very, very well. And then we have another collaboration with Pregame Motorshop Merchandise, and they give out vouchers to the whole podium per weekend. So on P1 we had Rowan Liserio scoring 89.5 points. On P2 we have Eugenio Mateo with 86.5 points, and then on P3 Martin Villarazza with 80 points. Now that means we get to our country scores, and I've been asking you every week, but I think we can get past this one pretty quickly, because we have consistently seen that the same countries have the most amount of players. So let's just refresh our memory a little bit. Samantha, how many from which countries did we see most players this weekend, do you think?
Well, I definitely the same, as you know. So I would say in no particular order, Kenya, Spain, and Mexico.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. So it is also indeed the right order. So it's 112 players from Kenya this weekend, 79 from Spain, and 69 from Mexico. Mexico slightly dropping. We have one new player from one new country. That was somebody from Belize in Central America. And the most gained places for a country this weekend was 9 places by Somaliland, who have only one player. They're a little bit at the back, but they move up 9 places. And that brings us a little bit to... we can go and look at the overall competition. But before we do that, I will look a little bit at the high scores. And actually, if we look at the worldwide high scores now, the full top 20 is scores from Miami with one exception. And the only exception is Jack Woods from Canada, who scored 102.5 points in the Chinese Spring weekend. And he finds himself in the shared P5. Other than that, it's only scores from Miami in the top 20. And also, if we look per continent, we will see a lot of scores from Miami. But that's bound to happen with sprint weekends. We're going to go to the overall competition, which is very interesting. I'll already give you a heads up that we had a complete change of the top three. So early in the season, still a lot of things moving. Previously, we had on P3 our friend Nancy Jonasson from Germany, and she scored 45.8 points this weekend, dropping from P3 to P38. On P2, we had Cesar Murataya, who scored 45.5 points, very similar, and dropped from P2 to P25. Jack Woods, Sam, your fellow country member,
that's right.
From P1 drops to P9, unfortunately, with 60.8 points. Not even a bad score, I would say.
No, he's still up there.
Yeah, but it does mean that we have a completely new top three. So let me go past those. On P3, we now have Carlos Machuca from Puerto Rico. And actually, if we would have only had a race weekend, he would have won the race weekend because he scored the most amount of points in the race. But a P13 overall, if we count the sprint as well this weekend. So he goes from P35 to P3 now. And on P2, we have Valentin Perez from France. And he scored 100.5 points, finished P9 this weekend, and goes from P30 to P2. And then on P1, previously already on the podium after the Bahrain race, he was on P2, but then he lost his position in the Saudi weekend and he dropped to P16. But now scoring a lot of points, 92.3, finding himself at the top of the table right now is Jordi Schoonewille from the Netherlands. So Jordi is the player to beat for the rest of the season.
That's awesome. Keeps the competition definitely tight. So, and we still have quite a long season ahead of us.
Yeah, I do think it's quite. I think it's quite scary though that we're already a quarter of the way through. Like, it doesn't feel like it's been that many races already.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, we've had 6 races. Yeah, and there's 24 on the calendar. So, yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. I didn't even realize that myself either, but yeah, that is interesting. Also for the actual championship in Formula One, of course, but we'll get to that a little bit later. I think first what we get to is our points, and I don't know with who should we start? Savannah, Samantha, who do we start with?
Your pick.
I just know that I've beaten my sister this weekend, so I'm happy. I don't mind who we start with.
Well, that's because last time your sister finished on the podium in Saudi, so
she did.
Yeah, that was a very very good prediction from her. All right, we'll start with you, Savannah. I already gave away your prediction for the sprint podium with Norris, Piastri, Leclerc.
Yeah,
you scored 21 points there. What was your prediction for the race?
If I remember correctly, it was Piastri, Norris, Verstappen. I could be very wrong.
It's those drivers, but slightly different order. You did have
then
Piastri.
I probably had
one,
a Piastri, had Verstappen on 2. Yeah.
Yeah, and Norris, yeah. So you scored 48 points on the race. Means you scored 69 in total, and you finished on P75. Very close to my finishing position, actually. And you you move up from P878 in the ranking to P719. So that's a good jump. That's a fairly good jump.
Small but steady up.
Exactly. That's the right trajectory. If you make sure you score very few points
at
the beginning of the season, you're always moving up. I'm following a similar pattern, so that seems to work for us. Let me go to mine then before we go to Samantha. I scored 69.8 points, so I outscored you by 0.8. I didn't manage to get both winners right. I went for Norris Piastri Russell in the sprint, and I went for Norris Piastri Verstappen in the race. And that got me a P458, and I move up from P843 to P683.
That's also quite a decent jump. Well done.
Yeah. Also moving up, Samantha. I think it's your time to introduce your predictions from this weekend.
Okay. I went with, for the sprint, I believe it was Norris, Piastri, Russell, we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And for the race, I went with Piastri, Norris, Verstappen.
That's right. So actually, both of you got both winners of the sprint and of the race correct. You both went with Norris for the sprint and Piastri for the race. So well done to the two of you.
Thanks, Anton.
That's something right this weekend.
Yeah, I just sat there actually discussing with my sister the fact that I was like, I genuinely put Norris on pole position, but you know what? I'm going to follow in her footsteps and pull a Piastri. So that's what I did for the main race. And it obviously paid off, so I might need to be taking some notes from my sister instead of my own notes for a small while, just to play catch up for time being.
I'm already glad that I went, because I was actually considering to go for Piastri for the sprint and Norris for the race. I'm glad that I went with Norris for both. At least I got the full 8 points for the sprint for Norris. Yeah. But I feel like I was really at the beginning of this season. I think we talked about it in our first episode of the season, where we see ourselves finishing. But I think we're still, all of us, we're a long way ahead. although some of us a little bit further than others. Because I mean, I finished 22nd last time. I think Savannah, you finished 16th. And Samantha, you finished 3rd. So mm-hmm, I mean, right, we're all pretty far away from that.
Yeah.
Samantha, you're the closest though. You're going from P699 to P347. So you're in the top 350 people. That's actually doesn't sound great, but it's a lot better than me and Savannah. So
definitely,
listen, I'll take it. If I have an opportunity to move closer, then I will. So not a bad weekend. I mean, the sprint weekend obviously gives you the opportunity to make some jumps like this, and it just so happened that McLaren worked out in my favor.
Yeah, that's right. So I think with that, it is time to go to our quiz, and with the quiz we're going to go past all of the finishing positions and talk a little bit about the drivers, talk a little bit about the weekend, talk a little bit about all of the sessions. Of course, we had 4 sessions that were worth talking about. Of course, we can talk a little bit about the practice session too, if you will, but I think with the sprint qualifying, and I guess are we still calling it a sprint shootout this year? Actually, I'm not even sure, but no, I call it a sprint qualifying.
Yeah, it's sprint qualifying.
Is it shootout or qualifying?
Qualifying.
Well, right. Well, I think everyone will know what we're talking about. So yeah, the qualifying for the sprint, the qualifying, and the race. I think Savannah, you're the one that is set to go first for our predictions on the sprint, and what we're basically going to do is, and you weren't there last time when we switched up the format, but the idea is that I'm going to give you some room to talk about Norris's race, of course, especially in the sprint. He's the one that won the sprint, and in the meantime, think about how many people out of those 1,405 got Norris on that P1. But of course, you can talk a little bit about the qualifying for the sprint as well, because of course we don't give out points in forecast for the qualifying, but it is part of the weekend. So take it away. How was Norris's sprint part of the sprint weekend, and how many people do you think put him on P1?
Well, I think the sprint, to say the least, was a bit of a chaotic one. Literally from before the start, right up until the very end. But I think if we have to touch on Lando's sprint specifically, he, I think, was definitely in the mindset of he needs another win in Miami, seeing that his maiden win was there last year. So, I mean, he did it again in the sprint. He took the win in a very dramatic sprint from what we saw. But I think what definitely played into his victory for the sprint was that perfectly timed pit stop when the safety car came out very late into the sprint race, which then allowed him to basically hold the lead until the end, just ahead of Oscar. So I think he played the strategic game very well, even though we had a very, very young driver, younger than me, sitting on pole position for the very first time in F1. So I think overall Norris did a pretty stellar job of kind of redeeming himself after the last few races of following in his teammate's shadow for the podium finishes. So I think he was very happy with his result as an overall. So if I'm going to choose a number on that front, in terms of how many people chose him for this position, it would probably be... I'm going to think it's pretty high, so I'm going to stick to around 789 people.
All right. Well, I think it was a pretty good summary of Norris's race. I was wondering myself, Sam, and maybe you could give your 2 cents on this, but I was wondering whether if that safety car wouldn't have come into play, whether Norris would have actually come out ahead of the pits, and how much of a fight it would have been between Norris and Piastri. And actually, you know, on the one hand, I don't know, perhaps it's good to see the driver that's not leading the championship to not win the race and to have a battle between between Norris and Piastri in those points in the championship. But how do you think it would have, of course we're, you know, speculating here, but how would have played it out if Norris would not get the benefit of that safety car, which indeed, like you said, Savannah, I mean, that happened last year as well. That's what got Norris's first win here in Miami. But would have been a big fight, or would Piastri have come out on front?
Well, it's interesting that you bring it up, because it's exactly what I was thinking as well. When it took place, it is a very well-timed sprint car and safety car. And essentially, he got really lucky on that because, yeah, had that have not happened, I think we would have likely seen Piastri winning the sprint. And I would imagine Zach Brown probably breathed in some capacity a sigh of relief when he saw that result, because it's just, I mean, the last thing you want to do is see your two drivers going at it on the track. And judging by how that pit stop was ending, if the safety car had not happened, then it really would have been pretty close. But ultimately, I think Piastri would have taken it. I mean, at the end of the day, we can see that clearly over the last several race weekends, Lando has struggled, and it's no doubt impacts a driver's mentality, because it really is a so much of a mental game when you're on the track. And there's no doubt about the fact that the McLarens themselves are just, in terms of pace, they're so far ahead. I mean, this was a weekend really where you saw them stretch their legs and show the dominance that they do have when it comes to their car. So yeah, I think I was happy to see Lando secure the sprint win. However, I really just feel like Piastri is just in fine form we're seeing right now. And I do believe that result would have been different had that not have happened. So with that being said, let me go to my number. I'm going to go with a little bit less, Savannah, than yourself. I'm going to go with 689.
All right, that's exactly 100 less. That means that Savannah, you're 301 away from the right answer, and Sam, you're 201 away from the right answer.
Oh,
it was
damn.
488 people that went with Norris. it seems like It seems like there's probably more people going for Piastri on the P1 now than Norris, which is a bit of a swing in the forecast championship. Of course, I guess the forecast swings come after actual swings in the championship. But this is very interesting, and it somewhat introduces. Well, I won't get to that yet, but I've told both of you before we started this podcast that I have a very good bonus question. I'm somewhat proud of myself on this one, but I hope you guys tie in the quiz. Anyway, 400.
You're gonna ask it anyways, even if
Norris.
We don't.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll get to it, I'm sure. But the interesting thing is, we talked a little bit about Norris now, of course, Piastri, and I guess, you know, Piastri and Antonelli, that was definitely, at least at the start of the sprint, the main talking point. Savannah, you'd already mentioned the pole position for Antonelli. I think we will get to that when we get to Antonelli, who did finish in the points.
Yeah.
After all of the penalties that we got, because we got on quite a few of them. I think that's also something to discuss. But before we do, first Piastri. And Sam, I want to know from you how many people you think predicted Piastri on P2. But I also want to know how you felt that Piastri went into that first turn. And what did you make of that battle between the McLaren and Mercedes driver there at the beginning of the sprint race?
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I loved watching Piastri this weekend when it came to the race and the sprint race, and I just thought that it was a fantastic move from him and well-timed and well-deserved to secure at that moment be ahead of the pack. I would say in terms of, overall performance from Oscar when it came to the sprint, and of course we'll get into that race, but when it came to the sprint, I thought it was a pretty solid result for him and a pretty solid sprint. I mean, they're short, so we can't see everything. We can only see it in a small window. But with that being said, I do think that probably the highest numbers when it came to predictions this weekend was for McLaren and in a 1-2 spot, just more questionable as to who was where. Clearly, we can see that Piastri probably was the favorite when it came to the sprint in predictions. But I'm going to go... I'm still going to give a high number in my pick here. I'm going to go with 312.
Yeah, I think from my end, I still think Piastri put up a stellar job for what he did accomplish in the race for the sprint. The fight between Antonelli, I mean, I think everybody knew that was coming right in the beginning. Even when they were setting up grid formation after an incident, or should I say an incident,
right,
that happened before we even got to the grid lineup. But I'm sure we'll touch base on that a little bit later when his name comes up for the actual Grand Prix.
Well, because that's actually a good point you're making there. Since we're talking about those that finished in the points, we're obviously not going to be talking about Charles Leclerc.
Nope.
But so you might as well talk about it. But it's interesting you might mention it, because actually I had a lot of people over here in the weekend, and I couldn't watch the whole pre-show, and I just tuned in for the sprint race, and I saw the formation lap, and then I heard the commentator say that, but of course we only have one Ferrari in the fight. And I was like, wait, what? And I could completely missed it. But so do please talk about it for those that also might have missed it, although I guess a few have after you watch the rest of the race. But anyway,
so I mean, I think everybody kind of knew going into this weekend that there was going to be drama of some sort, because we're once again getting torrential rains in a place like sunny Miami, the usual sunny Miami. And obviously with start time that was approaching, everybody started heading out to do their reconnaissance laps and get to the starting grid, which then led to Leclerc suffering to his premature exit, and hence went my top three down the drain. But I didn't understand as well, like you say, Anton. I kind of tuned in when I found out that it was like, oh, by the way, there's only one Ferrari that is going to be on grid. And I went, hold up, what is going on that I've missed? But then when I saw the replays, my jaw literally dropped to the floor. I was like, Ferrari's strategy has failed us once again, but we move forward. And luckily we had the redemption with Hamilton on the podium at least. But yeah, Leclerc went out and slid into the walls en route to the grid, putting out before the event had even begun. So he was not classified. He just kind of limped back to the pits, and let's just say his stance that he made watching over his car standing out on track in the rain has already become an internet meme, unfortunately. And I'm guilty of making a WhatsApp sticker myself for the group, but yeah. Other than that, I think he himself was really hard on himself, I would guess. But even we heard Hamilton over the radio also saying they don't understand, or at least he didn't understand, why they went on to the track on inters instead of full wets. I think Sainz was the only one on full wets, if I remember
initially,
correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, when they were called into the fast lane, they did eventually change him to the inters as well, and then we sat with the whole grid on the green. But yeah, I think the call from Ferrari, if both drivers were not feeling 100% on the inters due to the track conditions, I mean, I think Miami is one of the tracks that gets quite a bit of standing water, and it's not the widest track either. So going into turns with the famous wall of where we saw many drivers getting up to 0 centimeters being shown on screen, it's definitely a bad call in terms of the Ferrari strategy or decision in their tire setup going into the sprint. But yeah, I think maybe just push Leclerc a little bit more to try and do better in the race, but we'll jump into that a little bit later.
Yeah, so what I want to hear from you is, how many people do you think had Piastri on P2?
Oh my goodness. I'm probably going to do 271.
All right. Well, look, it's interesting actually that you mentioned it there, Florida being the sunshine state. When we left the desert, I was already commenting that I'm looking forward that to go to tracks where it might rain. And it was funny to hear a lot of people say during this weekend that they were so surprised that it rained in Miami. But I can reassure you, because I'm in the same climate, it does rain a lot around here and around Florida. And Florida being called the Sunshine State was a bit of a marketing stunt by the state in the 70s to get people to go there on vacation during some of the colder months in the northern parts of the United States. So it's not actually just sunshine. There is a lot of torrential rain throughout, you know, from May to October. You can really get a lot of rain. So I was already somewhat looking forward to this, as some of you might have guessed. And we did get the rain. And actually, we were talking about rain for a long time as well during the race. We'll get to that. But it was actually good to see some of that mix up. But I'm now going on a monologue. Of course, I should tell you guys who has scored this point, and I'm afraid to say that it's another point for Sam, because Sam, you are only, well, actually, you went with 312. That's 212 away from the right answer. It was 524 people with Piastri on P2. So I think it was really only people predicting him on P1, either that or P2.
Mm.
So quite a lot of people. That means, Savannah, you got some room to make up for, which you can do with, well, as we already mentioned, you went with the other Ferrari on P3. Leclerc, it was Hamilton on P3, and I'm very curious to hear from you what you first of all, we can all agree that for once, because we do always we make some fun of Ferrari sometimes making some bad strategy calls, but I think it was Tsunoda who went in first in the pits to go onto slicks, and we were all saying, well, that Red Bull's doing that to see, you know, how that will go for Verstappen. But Hamilton went straight after, and while I saw him going into the pits, I said immediately, okay, that's a good call, because, you know, he and honestly, I was so surprised that that not more people went straight in, because it was already on the edge, and you know that if, you know, if one driver is going to go, it's, I don't know, how often do we look back at these things and do we say, I know it's easy to say in hindsight, but I thought it was the obvious call, but at least Hamilton made it. I don't know if it was coming from him, if it was coming from his team, but it was a great call, and it got him the it got him the podium position. And I don't think that after qualifying, and you know, we've talked about it quite a bit, that qualifying is definitely a tough suit for Hamilton this season, taking up against Leclerc, who is very good at qualifying. And I think we've seen it in the sprint. Hamilton qualified seventh, in the race he qualified 12th, but it made a sprint, and you know, in China he did it all by himself by qualifying on pole and then winning the race. But this time out, it was definitely the strategy call that got him the podium.
Yeah, I think definitely the pitting early for Hamilton played a major role in his final position for the sprint. And I'm pretty sure it was more a balanced call from the engineers and pit wall and Hamilton himself. But I think we also saw with quite a few broadcasted radios where drivers were saying that the track was drying up pretty quickly. And I think even viewers on screen or in person could probably see that with the driving line that was developing within the first sort of five laps. There was a space on the track that was almost that, or at least looked bone dry. So I think it was a good combo from driver and team for Ferrari to make that call, and it ultimately paid off with him being on the third step. So yeah, I do think many people would have had Leclerc possibly in a higher position than Hamilton on the sprint. I could be, again, very wrong. But I think if we're looking at numbers, I'm going to go relatively lowish on this one and say 23 people.
Okay. I mean, I think we all collectively agree at this point, as I side with both of your sentiments on the fact that it was great to see Hamilton. I think, and the strategy alone with the pit stop and the tire choice and also the timing was the main leading reason for his result. And I think overall, and of course we question, it's always a strong comment that many people use, is of course the Ferrari strategy. However, I think in this point, you have to celebrate it. It was definitely a reason for Hamilton to be where he's at. And it was nice to see him there. I think also the thing is that what we've seen from Hamilton, just to map out over this entire season so far, he has to acclimate to a new team. And he also has to acclimate to a car that's entirely different than his Mercedes that he's accustomed to driving. So overall, I think when it comes to his performance, when he has been able to have moments where he could really just try to, like something has happened on the track, or he seems to always have that really strong innate ability to capitalize in moments where he can really extract the most out of a result. In this case, this would have been one of those opportunities, and it complemented the fact that Ferrari also was great on their strategy. So yeah, good result for him. In terms of what I would say as a choice, how many people picked, I don't think a lot of people did. But that being said, I'm going to go with 38.
I already thought that Savannah had a very good guess with 23, because you're only 13 away from the right answer. But unfortunately, Sam again takes the point away from you, because 38 is only two away, because it was 36 people. Ooh. That went with Hamilton on P3. So you're both very close. Good thinking there, which makes me curious for the next one, for Russell on P4. Sam?
Yes, Russell. Well, Russell, again, has been consistent, probably the most consistent driver on the grid, I think, over this season, because he seemingly ends up getting himself onto the podium or very close to it. And obviously for him, a result of P4 is pretty decent. And also given the fact that there was a lot of chaos and the track wasn't the greatest of conditions. As for picking, I think that I'm going to go with a pretty high number. At least I would consider it a high number because of his consistency as of late. So I'm going to go with 224.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying, Sam. Consistency is definitely the word I think Russell has kind of embodied for at least this first quarter of our season. Let's hope it stays that way. Maybe we see a complete swing in the championship. Who knows? It would be quite interesting to see that, I won't lie, given that McLaren's got the pace that they do. So let's wait and see. But I also think in numbers, I'm going to go a little bit higher and do about 292.
All right. Well, going higher was the right direction. It's actually way higher even than that. It was 450 people that went with Russell on P4.
Wow.
So that's actually your first point of the evening, Savannah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Well, I think this might be the right time to talk about a couple of the time penalties. So, of course, the Verstappen one would be an obvious one to talk about while we're talking about Antonelli. But I'm just mentioning it now. I do think we will get to talk about it with Antonelli. So let's just push it aside. But not only did we have a penalty for him, we had a penalty for several other drivers as well, and I think Albon is one to mention here, because not keeping his speed under the required speed under the safety car. So I think he initially finished fourth, but dropped all the way down to 11th. Mm-hmm. Which with Verstappen and Albon's penalties, of course, we also got penalties for Lawson and for Behrman, but Tsunoda was moved up two positions because of that and finished in fifth. And that was somewhat of a curious one. I don't think we saw much of Stroll's race during the during the race. I mean, I haven't seen him on the screen much, but very good finish and very good weekend. And I think initially his first weekend of the season was a good one too in Australia. Then we haven't heard much from him, but I'm very curious actually to hear from the two of you how many people you think had Stroll on P5 for that sprint. So Savannah, what take a guess.
Well, like you say, Anton, I think Lance has been in a bit of a stealth mode, even though he's currently the one carrying Aston Martin's majority of points on the
that is true
point
actually
board.
Yeah.
I have seen some wild cards played by the forecast predictors before, but I don't think it's going to be a very high wild card, so I'm going to stick to the low numbers and say zero people.
I'm going to go with zero would be a good one. I'm going to go with one.
All right. Well, one of you has got it right. I will say that much. But there was one person who
wow.
got Stroll on P5. So, that's another point for Sam. I think with only one person getting it right, we ought to also say who that person was. Although, I'm getting slightly anxious here because I'm probably going to pronounce this name very, very, very wrong. Interestingly, with the penalty for Albon, because it's the only Thai player this weekend who got Stroll in P5, right?
Wow.
It was Papankorn Thongthanathorn. That's his full name, actually. He's the only player in forecast whose name is too long to actually fit on the Instagram score sheets. So his first name, Papankorn, is shortened to Hankorn. That's one of these odd outliers in the game, but
Well, I mean, just as Stroll was. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Talking about outliers. Yeah, no, but I think I've said this various times, but with these kind of predictions, I always relate it to myself, and I think about how big the chance would be that I. And sometimes I make my predictions after a couple of drinks, but I don't think at any point in time I would ever put Stroll on P5. But congratulations. I mean, it was the right pick.
Yeah, well done.
So that means we go to Tsunoda on P6, who was also, he wouldn't have been in P6 if it weren't for the other penalties. So I guess we can say that for all of the other drivers that remain to be mentioned. And Samantha, it's you who goes first on the Tsunoda one. I'm curious what you think. How many people in forecast put him on P6?
I think a few people put him on P6 because I believe that everyone, I want to hope that there are some people like me that, although I didn't put him on P6, I put him close to it, that think that, you know, there's got to be a race. He's just getting his feet wet with Red Bull and his time, you know, we're starting to see some small improvements from Yuki. And I was hoping that he would have a pretty decent race in Miami. But with that being said, P6, I think I am going to go with, let's go with 42.
And where did you put him yourself? Because you mentioned that you were close to putting him there.
I know that in the sprint race and the race, I wanted to put him around the 7-8. So I definitely put him around either P7 or P8, whether it was one was in sprint, one was in race, but I had him in that range.
Yeah, it was a bit of a trick question because you actually had him correct on P6.
Did so I really? Wow.
I should have said that actually before you went up with guessing. Do you wanna up the 42 to 43 or not?
Right? No, I'll keep it at 42. I'm going to go with my gut even though sometimes it's not right. But in this case with Yuki being P6, it was. I think then that would translate to in the race, I picked him to be in P7 or P8. Because I just felt like...
Yeah, okay. Well, I have the app open here next to me. So, I'm sorry to tell you, but you had him in P6 for the race as well.
Did I really? Wow. Well, yeah, there you go. Did.
Talk about manifesting yeah. for the man.
I've written down 42 for you, Savannah. Before we get to your number, where did you put Tsunoda for the sprint and for the race?
I know I had him in both my predictions, but I don't think
you
I had
indeed.
Him. I didn't have him correct for either, but I think in the sprint.
That's also true.
I think in the sprint I put him 8th, so that got me quick maths going on in my brain here. 0.8.
Yeah, 0.75. That's right. You did have him in. You did have him on P8. Someone's at least paying attention, Sam.
Well, more or less a memory thing, not a pay attention, but I'll take it.
Whichever one it is, I mean, one is a bit sharper than the other. All right, sorry, Sam.
Listen,
go ahead, Savannah.
You know what? How's your notes looking today, Anton? Just make sure you can read them.
Oh, goodness.
This is going to be one string of a long laugh. Anyway, okay, Savannah, where did you put him in the race?
In the race, I'm almost 100% certain it was P9, but I'm not sure.
Nice. Yeah, it is right. It's correct.
Okay, thank goodness.
But we're laughing at Sam now, but Sam's the one who got it right. So, I mean, we shouldn't be laughing at
exactly.
all. I'll give her that. But
one race of the season. Let's not go back and review my most recent predictions because they weren't that great either. So I'll take this one.
Yeah, I can safely say that Miami was my strongest race of the season, so I'm not complaining.
Right. I want to hear from you now. How many people had? Yeah, how many people had Tsunoda in P6?
I think I'm gonna go 44 people.
All right, that's two more than Sam, and that's 41 away from the right answer. It was 85 people that went with Tsunoda on P6, so that is a point for you, Savannah.
I'm catching up, Sam. Watch out.
Watch out. It's 4 against 2 after 6 questions, and we go to Antonelli, big talking point on P7. That one's for Savannah.
Yeah, I think Antonelli's probably been a bit of a highlight for not only the Mercedes team, for those who follow the team quite in depth, but just seeing where he's come from, the build-up of his career into F1. It's quite an interesting one for those who are interested. But yeah, youngest pole sitter ever in F1. And I think if I remember from my notes correctly, it was he took over that sort of achievement from Sebastian Vettel by just over 2 years. So yeah, it was quite amazing to see, and I think he definitely surprised himself like tenfold when Bono came onto the radio and said, "Listen, you've like done the impossible," basically, by overtaking or out qualifying the McLarens of all cars. And he's only in his like 6th official F1 Grand Prix weekend. So I was over the moon. I'm not the biggest Mercedes supporter, but best believe my neighbors heard me shouting for Antonelli. And me and my sister started screaming the Italian national anthem out of all things. But I was just gobsmacked, to put it quite simply, that he achieved that. So props to him. And I mean, I can definitely see if that's what he's already putting in terms of effort and dedication into the F1 scene. He's got big things coming. And I think he's got the mentality to start really hitting the nail on the head when he's completely settled, possibly in 1 or 2 seasons' time. But that being said, I think in terms of the sprint, he did unfortunately lose out in that first corner, although I think he knew that the fight was coming to him with Piastri right on his tail. So, yeah, he gave it his all, and really kind of just put like pedal to the metal to do what he could do. And it didn't work all too well, but there's always next time, and I think he knows that, especially under the mentorship of somebody like Bono in the garage, as well as having George, who's more experienced with the team, at his side. But yeah, finishing 7th, also not a bad result, seeing that this is his rookie season. But in terms of numbers on our side of things, it'll probably be a 156 from me.
Okay. Well, I would say, yeah, fantastic for Kimi to secure pole. I don't believe any of us expected it. However, mm-mm, it was really nice, really great to see. And obviously, you can see, you're seeing the results of the belief that Mercedes has put in him translating onto the track. So I think it is similar to what you said, Savannah, just a little glimmer of what is yet to come with Kimi. And I'm really excited to, I think, see a driver start from such a such a young age, and you're watching how Formula One is unfolding for him in real time and how he responds to it. So he's clearly responding well, and although it may not have been the finish that he was looking for in the sprint race, I think that qualifying, you definitely can't complain. So with that being said, I don't think that a lot of people, although it's funny, I don't think if you were to put predictions in qualifying, I don't think anyone probably would have selected him as for pole. But with that being said, I'm going to say, let's say 112 people chose him.
Well, we only had 47 people that went with Antonelli. Wow. On P7, so that means the 112 is closing at 156, so it means that Sam's at 5 points, Savannah's at 2 points. And We got to P8, which was Gasly, and I think slightly surprising. Another one that we haven't really seen much from on the screens, just like Stroll. I don't think many people thought he would get some points, but of course, with all the penalties that we have mentioned, a P8 for Gasly. So, Sam, how many people did put Pierre there on P8?
I'm gonna go with 52,
and I'm gonna go a little bit lower and say 37.
Yeah, to be really honest, I probably also would have gone lower than 52, but that's not the right direction. It was 138 people that went with P8 Gasly. It surprised me big time, but it is the right answer. So that means Samantha is 6 up against 2. So there's really a bit of work to do, Savannah. And,
mm-hmm. You're telling me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm just looking at the bonus question. Anyway, we'll go to.
Can't wait to get to that question. You're just sitting there waiting.
I just think it's the right bonus question for this weekend. That's all. But all right, race. Let's go to the race, Samantha. I'm gonna ask you first because you were closer to the right amount of podium finishes. It was. Let me go back. So it was 64 people that correctly predicted this podium, so that gives you a little bit of a bite mark for getting your first three people predicted. And I think we start obviously with the race winner, and that was Oscar Piastri. And I'd like to hear from you, Sam, a little bit about Oscar's race and about Oscar's performance and about how many people in forecast put him on that P1.
Yeah, well, I mean, what can we say? Number one, McLaren pace is just off the charts. I would say that first and foremost. But going into the race start and then eventually one of the most exciting parts of the race that I found was the constant battle between Oscar and Max and his attempts in trying to overtake. And I thought that in contrast to some of the races that we've seen with Norris doing the same thing with Max, there's a difference in the driving capability, like just the overall overtaking abilities and the timing of that in comparison with the two McLaren drivers. And I found that you could really see that in this race because of the length of time and the attempts that Oscar did take. And what I mean by that is I find that Oscar is a little bit more strategic in terms of his timing when it comes to his attempts with Max on overtakes. I think that he really, you can tell that that it's just, he waits for the right moment, and when he does, it is in a position where it would make the most sense. Now, with that being said, I felt that Max put on an absolute fantastic performance defensively against Oscar, and that was a huge reason why it took Oscar the time that it did to eventually overtake Max. However, with that being said, I mean, once he did overtake Max, it was a wrap basically for his win. I think he was more than 8 seconds ahead of him in such a short window of time. It's unbelievable the pace that the McLaren does have. So a deserved win, a win that I want to say, like, I expected, because I chose him in my picks to win that race. And I think a lot of other people did as well. So I'm going to go with a pretty high number. I'm going to go with 713.
All right, I'm writing that down. Savannah, I'm curious to see if you will go up or under.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, no, I agree with everything that you just mentioned, Sam. Piastri's strategy, his mind works in a very mysterious way, especially against somebody like Max Verstappen. But yeah, I think having a Grand Prix win 3 times in a row for a McLaren for the first time in 28 years, it's quite an achievement. But looking at numbers, I'm going to go 797.
Yeah, well, I agree with both of you on the performance of Oscar, and I agree, Sam, completely. That was for me also the main treat of the race was watching watching them fight, and I don't know, some of the remarks after the race were interesting, because I think the you know, the McLaren drivers were a little bit cynical about having to pass Verstappen on track, and that you need to see if you manage to keep your car in one piece and this and that. But of course, you know, it's also that's actually what racing is, and I think it's a huge compliment actually to Verstappen that it's so difficult to overtake him, and of course this is what he wants. I mean, he wants to keep that alive, he wants to keep that feeling. I think especially towards Norris, you've seen in the previous season that it becomes really this mental thing also for Norris to be able to overtake Verstappen. So, you know, Verstappen wants to keep that alive, that feeling of it being so hard to overtake him. I think, I don't know, but for me, Verstappen did what he could, and even more than he should have been able to do with this car. So a very good performance. In the long run, you just knew, and I think, you know, the if you see the gap in the final, you know, when they pass the finish, I mean, it's a very big gap. I think there was something like 40 seconds between Piastri and Russell, even more so between Piastri and Verstappen. So it shows. I think it's been a long time since we've had gaps like that. Of course, we've seen a lot of Red Bull dominance or Verstappen dominance as well, but I think we're now getting to, I don't want to say an era, I want to say a season of McLaren dominance, because of course we don't know what's going to happen next year. Anyway, that being said, I think all we can do is applaud the race of Piastri. He's shown once again that, you know, he can keep his head very, very calm. And you go with Sam, you went with 713. Savannah, you went with 797. It was fewer than that. It was 665, which means that Sam's taking another point for her tally. And it's very much moving in one direction. But Savannah, I want to give you the next one, which is the other McLaren driver, and that was Lando Norris, of course, who... I think, you know, there can be some talks about the start of the race as well regarding Norris, no?
Yeah, no, I think when the race initially started, we saw the battle between Verstappen and Norris, but he unfortunately ran wide and then dropped down the order, letting quite a few cars through. I remember looking on those first one or two corners going, where the heck has Norris, like, disappeared to?
Yeah, he was behind Albon, I think, at that point.
Yeah, he definitely let at least two or three cars through. And I'm pretty sure he was, like, wanting to bang his head against the steering wheel for that. But he's also said it time and time again in press conferences that Max is Max. You can't discount him. He's got four world championships under his belt, and he knows what he's doing. Things like sticking to an inside line, spotting things like being out of position on the grid box while he's also like almost touching the floor in a sitting position. It's not something that can be set apart from his constant battle out on track with the other drivers. But yeah, I definitely think Norris put up a good fight in the race, and he was ready to get his claws out as well when he started gaining on Piastri towards the end of the race. And I think I think Zach Brown actually said it, thinking back now from the pit wall, that if there were a few extra laps, we might have seen a bit of a battle of papaya and papaya going on. So I definitely think, as much as we praise Oscar, I think Norris is also worthy of his praise. I mean, he's also shown us in the last season and in Australia that he is capable of doing what he needs to do. But yeah, unfortunately, it just wasn't enough to get him that top step this weekend, even though he did manage to do that in the sprint. So overall, McLaren had a bit of a balanced weekend from each driver. But in terms of numbers, I'm going to go with 645 people.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think we've definitely expressed the fact that it was a McLaren weekend and a very, very good one for them. And yeah, I mean, I also believe that the start of the race with Lando dropping back as much as he did, really, he was playing catch up for quite a bit of time. So who knows where things would have been had that not have happened, because again, I think that the pace is there. It really boils down to the performance of the drivers, and I believe that at some point down the line, whether it's next race, whether it's a race after that, we're going to see these two drivers really battle it out, especially if the car itself is basically like a rocket ship in comparison to the others. It's really going to boil down to watching these two compete. Although we did not see them be able to battle each other this weekend, I'm looking forward to the races where that will happen. So, with that being said, for Norris, I am going to go with I'm going to go with 699.
699. Well, I was checking back. That was where you were. That was your position in Forecast F1 after the previous race, wasn't it? Let me check that back.
Not shocking.
Yeah, actually, it was 699. All right, Sam. Sorry, that's the wrong answer. So is 645, but it's closer to the right answer. The right answer was 425. So that means that's a point for Savannah. That's the third one on the board for you. And let me have a look. There are 8 questions left, so you can definitely still catch up. it's first. Actually, did we go the right order? Yeah, we did. It's Samantha who goes for P3. Russell on another podium. You already mentioned it with the sprint race. He's been extremely consistent throughout this season, and again finishing ahead of his teammate, even though some would say that Antonelli overall was faster this weekend, but he finishes ahead of him in both the sprint and the race. How many people went with Russell on P3? We know that there were 64 people who had a correct podium, so that means at least 64 people went with Russell on P3. How many more people did so?
Yeah, and I will also say this, that he secured that, and he was battling a bit of an illness. He mentioned that he had some sort of a stomach issue during the race and after.
Right,
so
yeah, I heard
he
that
still
too.
Managed to finish P3. So, but yeah, I think I'm gonna go with 87.
Yeah, I think from Russell, he's definitely become probably a more prominent feature in people's predictions. So I'm gonna go a little bit higher than what Sam has just said and go with 102.
All right. Well, it was indeed a few more. It was 192. So that means it's another point for Savannah. You are catching up indeed. It's now 7-4. And it means the next one's for you, which is Max Verstappen on P4. Interesting one.
Yeah, I think Verstappen's had a bit of an interesting weekend overall. Flying from Monaco last minute just to come and miss out on a very tight podium between him and Russell as he was closing in the final stages, and while still getting pole position in the qualifying for the Grand Prix. But yeah, he's just become a dad to a little girl, little Lily. So congratulations to him and Kelly. Wish them all the best, and good luck with all the late nights when he's not doing any races. But yeah, I think Verstappen, He did have quite a few incidents where he mentioned he was not too happy with his brakes. It's not a new thing that we've heard from Verstappen this season, but he always seems to manage to keep it under control and put the car where it's needed, at least most of the time. We did see one or two lockups from him, but that was also due to weather conditions out on track. But yeah, looking at statistics, let's say 40 on the dot.
Okay. Yeah, I think that P4 had an opportunity to maybe hopefully secure the podium, but it was difficult being in a position where defensively he's battling the McLarens. But again, I think overall in terms of performance, it was just epic battles to to watch him I thought he put on such a fantastic performance when it came to a defensive side, and both against both Lando and Russell. With that being said, and I keep saying this, with that being said, I find. But anyways, I'm going to go with 92.
40 against 92. Well, you can add that up, and then there's still a few more to go. There was quite a few people with a P4 of Verstappen, and it was 238. So
okay,
at least a 92 is closer to it, meaning that this point will go to Sam, 8 against 4. And next one up is Alexander Albon, who had, all I can add to what you guys were previously saying, by the way, that we shouldn't skip talking about the pole position of Verstappen, actually, because we go past that. Yeah, at least Savannah, you mentioned it, but it was a outstanding performance once again.
Yeah.
One of the best qualifying laps I've ever seen. I just didn't want to pass up on just quickly mentioning that one. But Albon is definitely also another driver that had an outstanding weekend. And, of course, he was unfortunate. In the end, I don't know if you call it unfortunate if you get a penalty for something that you indeed did. But and now I realize, mentioning Verstappen and penalties, we didn't even really talk too much about the pit lane incident in the sprint between Verstappen and and Antonelli, which was... did we mention it? I don't think we talked about it very much.
No, we didn't.
But that was a very bad decision by Red Bull as a team, I suppose. I mean, you can't really write that off to Verstappen. I mean, he doesn't have eyes in the back of his helmet. But wrong decision-making on Red Bull's side. And I think we've seen, we've seen things go wrong with Red Bull pit stops quite frequently this season. I start to wonder whether it's the effect of Jonathan Wheatley leaving the team. But we were now talking about penalties. Albon, and Albon finished P4 for the sprint, but he didn't get to keep that position. But to make up for it, he finished P5 in the race. And I do think that the Williams is performing as probably to be the fifth team this season, but I don't think we really expected Alexander Albon to also make it to P5 this weekend, but he did. And I would say that was a very good performance. And I'm very curious to hear from both of you how many people you think in forecasts actually dare to put Albon on P5, starting with Samantha.
Yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised to see the pace of Williams. I think that each and every single weekend we're seeing them get stronger and stronger, and man, I can't wait to see where they're going to be at it towards the end of the season and see really where they shake up in the constructors. It was just I love to see the resurgence of Williams back where they used to be years ago when they were so competitive. And to be able to, every single year, you hope, for myself, and I know you do as well, Anton, but you hope to see that it's going to be the year where you're going to see an improvement from Williams, come back and be more competitive. And I just, it's really exciting. And this weekend was fantastic because both drivers were there. And like, I agree with you in the sense that we could really see them come out with the fighting for and ending this year with a fifth position in the constructors. But with that being, I don't even want to say with that being said, I've said it so many times this episode, but anyways, let's change that up. With that being said, I'm going to go with, for Albon, I'm going to go with six people.
Okay, now I've got to give that some thought, but I definitely think Albon gave a very impressive result, ending in P5 for the race. And I think, like we've heard from his teammate Carlos, it's also been seen by him when he joined the team from Ferrari last year. He's seeing it as a project of growth, and I think Albon is on the same page as Carlos. So I'm like they said over the weekend, really beginning to enjoy the sound of McLaren and Williams suddenly resurging to the top of the championships again. It's very much giving more of that old school vibe of when Schumacher and Alonso and all those other big names started coming onto the scene and really bringing the sport once again into the limelight. So well done to Albon. But now to combat your sixth people prediction, Sam, I'm going to say 9.
Well, it's interesting because you would say that if, you know, one person at least gets to predict Stroll on P5 in the sprint, and for an Albon P5, there would be a few more than that. But actually, there was nobody who had Albon on P5 for the race.
Wow.
Wow.
And
okay.
I would imagine that going into next race, I think that people's predictions are going to change when it comes to Williams. I believe that you're going to see more people picking them up there in the maybe fifth, sixth range.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. I think so too. What I also think is that in order for you guys to tie, Savannah needs to get all the next five questions right.
Oh my goodness.
Or not right, but at least be closer than Sam. So you've got some work ahead of you, but you can start it off with Kimi Antonelli on P6.
Yeah, I think I've said quite a bit about Antonelli this podcast. But yeah, I think again, he gave his absolute best during the race. Mindset was obviously still in a bit of a recovery mode from everything that happened in the sprint the day before. But I think he wasn't completely broken down in terms of attitude or spirits. So yeah, P6 for Antonelli. I'm going to go with 87 people.
Yeah, I think not being broken down in spirits also has a lot to do with people management and Mercedes. And
yeah.
I think to that extent, not only Toto, I suppose the whole team, also Peter Bonington and everybody around him, they're really doing a good job in nurturing him into the position that they want him to be. You know, coming on in the radio after the sprint race or during the sprint race, the end of it, saying that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, it's just one race. I mean, you've got a whole season to go, let it go. I think that was exactly the right thing to do. And it shows, I mean, I think we can be honest that Russell's the first driver of Mercedes and that this is the second driver of Mercedes. Then the way to treat the second driver, even though it's somebody that they have a lot of faith in and a lot of talent, of course, but it's the right way to make sure that somebody, yeah, gets his mental state of mind in the right shape after such a big disappointment. And I think it's very important for Kimi to focus on that pole position, not on what happened in the race. So I think the management in that respect of Mercedes is something to be something to be looked at by other teams. I don't want to mention any names, but not all teams treat their second driver in that way. But with 87, I'm very curious, Sam, if you will go up or under.
I'm going to go up a bit. I am going to go 171.
Yeah, you could have gone up even way, way further, because there was 452 people with Antonelli on P6.
Oh, my word.
Yes, girls, there's still...
here I missed
there.
The
sometimes
ballpark
you get very, very
completely.
Close, but yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Like, sometimes you girls get very, very close to the right answer, and then sometimes you're pretty far off. But yeah, Antonelli, P6, 452. That means we get to P7 and P8, the two Ferraris who were skirmishing a little bit in the race. Of course, Leclerc letting Hamilton go ahead, then Hamilton complaining about having to let Leclerc pass him again after Hamilton didn't really make any advancements on getting closer to Antonelli. It was an interesting one, talking about being cynical. I mentioned it about the McLaren drivers after the race. Of course, Hamilton during the race on the radio was also making comments whether he should also let Sainz pass if the team would be all right with that, and if they were having a tea party and this and that. It was interesting to listen to. What did you make of that, Sam? And how many people do you think went with Leclerc on P7?
Yeah, I mean, just to, I guess, encompass both Hamilton and Leclerc, since they finished P7, P8, respectively, I think that I understand Lewis's frustrations to a degree, because I believe that they left him a little bit hanging for several laps where he's just burning his tires up instead of actually giving the opportunity to him. And that compromised, I think, Ferrari in general from at least giving them an opportunity to get a little bit higher on the grid in the final result. I scratched my head at that one, but again, sometimes we do. So I think they were just a little more delayed in the response, and I think that also you're looking at a dynamic on the radio when it came to Hamilton with his engineer. He's still trying to get acclimated, and it's Ferrari, at least we don't hear all of the radio, so it's very difficult to make judgment calls when you hear just bits and pieces of a radio when you're watching the race. However, I still believe that having the relationship that he did with Bono for so long, and having an engineer and a driver relationship, clearly takes some time to grow, because you have to be on the same page, and we're seeing some growing pains, that's for sure. However, I found it entertaining to listen to Hamilton at times. I think he mentioned at one point to have tea. Like, it was a little funny, but I don't think he was in the wrong.
Yeah, no, entertainment value was very high, and especially towards the latter part of the race, where not too much was happening, if we're all being completely honest. I mean, most of the stuff that was exciting was at the first half of the race, so it was good to tune into it wasn't that harsh on the radio. It was still all right, but I'm curious to hear, Sam.
Yeah.
Leclerc, how many people?
So Leclerc, I'm going to go with 201.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think looking at the team radios, just to finish off that sort of topic, obviously we've got our swearing restrictions and those sort of things for the broadcasted messages, at least. But it's very difficult to also say that Leclerc was in the wrong, I think, because I think it was in his post-race interview that happened, he told the media he was only told to swap positions, and he did. So the conversation that was happening on Hamilton's radio with his engineer wasn't being relayed on the pit wall. So that communication, for lack of a better term, barrier between both engineers and both drivers, I'm pretty sure it's something that Ferrari needs to sort out quite quickly if they're wanting to work a little bit in a little bit more unison out on track and off track, actually. But yeah, it would be interesting to find out if there was tea served in the debrief. But yeah, looking at numbers, I think for Leclerc, and this I lamented this weekend, but nonetheless, I'm going to say 172 people.
All right. Well, let's straight go to Hamilton. I'm curious what you will guess about that one, and I'll give you the right scores for both Leclerc and Hamilton. So Savannah, how many people had Hamilton on P8?
I'm gonna then say Hamilton quite a bit lower, and I'm gonna say 76.
Okay, I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go with 134.
All right, so that means on the Leclerc, we were all quite far away, because it was only 32 people. So that means that's actually a point for Savannah, because you were closer with 172, closer than the 201 from Samantha. But then for Hamilton, it was right in between somewhat of what the two of you were guessing. But it's again Savannah that's closer, because it was 100 people, exactly 100 people with Hamilton on P8.
Wow.
So 76 is 24 away from the right answer. 134 is 34 away from the right answer. So we're now 10 against 6 with two questions to go. we're going to Sainz, and that one's for Samantha.
Okay, Sainz, I think I expected him to finish around here, so I want to imagine that other people thought the same. I'm going to go with 197.
And I think I'll put in a 203. And I think just to touch on Sainz, his last minute scrap with Hamilton literally going to the checkered flag was also a little bit of a highlight, seeing that the seat replacer, aka Hamilton at Ferrari, being chased by the predecessor of the seat, Sainz. I had a bit of a giggle at that one, but yeah, I think we all know what Sainz is capable of. He's been on the top step, and he will give it his all, no matter what.
Yeah, I thought that because I heard people say afterwards that Hamilton should have gotten a penalty for that fight, and I thought myself that Sainz perhaps was closer to getting a penalty, yeah. But in the end, neither one did. Actually, yeah. Tsunoda, who finished behind Sainz, did get a penalty, but
yep.
he was 5 seconds ahead of Hadjar, 5.1 actually. So he ended up keeping his 10th place. But regarding Sainz, there were, and actually I was one of them, but there were 311 people with Sainz on P9. So that means Savannah is closer to the right answer. I don't know if you hear the rain pouring down in the background on my end of the recording, but anyway, let's get to Tsunoda on P10, and I think that one's for Savannah to go first. Yeah,
I think, like we've said, Yuki, we know from radio messages and driving style, I think we've seen that he knows what he's doing, but he needs to just get in that zone and then fly. He's also still, like we keep saying with Hamilton and Antonelli and all those other people who've changed to different teams or come into new teams, that he's still actually getting acclimated, especially being teammates with somebody like Verstappen. And he's mentioned in one or two interviews just before Miami that the pressure is real. So I think now, looking back at it, what we were saying about Lawson really early on in the season was he was under immense pressure. And we ultimately saw that when that swap happened between him and Yuki. So I think Yuki gave it his all in the Miami race. But obviously, a lot of criticism is still being thrown his way of he's still not ending up where Perez would have been. If we're looking back at something as close as last season, Perez was the infamous P8 when finishing for the mostly throughout the season, if I recall. And it seems to be that Hamilton is becoming that. We said 8th championship, not P8, so we'll move forward from that one. But I think overall, Yuki was probably also, I would say, around about this sort of area for some of the people predicting. So I'm going to go with 101.
I am going to, when it comes to Tsunoda, I'm going to go with 132.
That's actually not too far away from the right answer, which is 148. So ooh, that means we can conclude a quiz that that Samantha won with 11 against 7. So
nice, Sam.
Congratulations for you, Sam. And actually, we have we switched up the anthem rule. Some of you may have been aware. We're now playing the anthem of the winner of the forecast game. So instead of listening to the Canadian anthem, we're listening to the Indian national anthem because of Tara Patel winning the game. I think, I think most of us were getting tired of the Canadian national anthem anyway. So
listen, we're not going to hear it. We're not going to hear it anytime soon in Formula One. Okay, so sometimes it's okay to listen to it on the podcast.
No, that is true, and I mean, we got a couple of Canadians doing quite well. I mean, with Jack Woods now dropped a couple of points, but actually, I think both P9 and P10 there's a Canadian player in forecast on P9 and P10. So we look ahead a little bit to the race in Imola, not next weekend, but the weekend after. We're going to a regular weekend again, weekend format, meaning that we have three practice sessions, a qualifying session, and a race on a Sunday. So we can once again watch some free practice sessions before we get to do our predictions. And I know that I need them because it's difficult. I mean, I know I'm going to predict a McLaren 1-2. Actually, that gets us to the bonus question that we didn't get to ask. So actually, my bonus question was going to be that for the race, and I'm talking just the race, how many people went with a McLaren 1-2? And that is it, regardless of whether it was Piastri Norris or Norris Piastri. But how many people out of 1,405 went with a McLaren 1-2? I thought that that was an interesting one. And then as a second bonus question, which one was picked more often, Piastri Norris or Norris Piastri?
I'll let you go first, Sam, since you already won.
Okay. I am going to go with over 1,000 people. I'm going to say 1,001 picked McLaren as a 1-2. And as for the other part, sorry, and what was the second? You'll have to remind me, Anton.
Well, did more people went with a Piastri Norris, or more with a Norris Piastri?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Piastri Norris.
Yeah, and I think on my end, I'm going to say 1,153 people went with the two McLarens as they won two. And in terms of which pairing was chosen more in terms of placement, I'm going to go with Piastri Norris.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one because, and this gives me also some insight in the game, because I would also have gone with at least 1,000 people going for the 1-2. And of course, there are a lot of people that go with either one of the McLaren drivers on P1. But actually, there seem to be still a lot of people that put then a driver from a different team on P2, whether it be Verstappen or Russell or one of the Ferraris. But it was actually only 684. And that surprised me quite a bit. The two of you were right. There were more people that went with the Piastri Norris. There were 354 that went with Piastri Norris and 330 with Norris Piastri. So pretty close, actually, only 24 difference between the two of them. So in that regard, I guess that's it's going to be one of the thinking points for next week, at least for me, because I do think I will go with a 1-2 for McLaren. I just don't know. I've been going with so many Norris wins that he didn't seem to be able to really managed to attain, and I'm thinking about putting Piastri on the P1 spot for next race. But what about the two of you? What are you looking forward to in Imola, going to the European part of the calendar? And what particularly do you look forward at for Imola?
I'm just happy that I can watch the race at more of a decent hour, because I'm in the European time zone for the most part when races are held there. And I don't know, in this Formula One calendar, I've always just been a fan of the May kind of races, April May races. They tend to be quite entertaining, so I just think, just as an overall, I'm excited to get this leg underway for the calendar. And yeah, being part Italian, there's a little bit of bias, but I wish, like, big number on the bucket list, hopefully that'll happen one day very soon, to attend at least one Grand Prix in Italy itself. So yeah, can't wait, but still got a lot of racing notes that I would probably have to get done to keep up with the entire weekend before our next chat.
Yeah, I think I'm really, of course, excited to see Imola. Any race, whether it's Imola or Monza, is always an exciting one just because of the fan base, the strong Ferrari fan base.
Yeah.
And I think that ultimately it's looking like it's going to be another McLaren strong situation heading into this weekend, but nonetheless, anything can happen. And we've seen a lot of really interesting results, especially with qualifying as of recently. So I'm ready for anything.
I can safely say from the Tifosi side, we live in hope. That's all. That's the be all and end all of the next coming race. That's all I'm saying. But I think we all know that McLaren is still going to hold their pace pretty well.
Yeah, I think a McLaren stroke situation, like you mentioned, Sam, that's definitely probably what it's going to be. But I really hope it's going to be something else. I really hope people fail to score a lot of points in forecast, because that usually means we get some upset. So, yeah, let's just wait in suspense, and let's hope that we get a good weekend. And I'm sure we'll talk very quickly afterwards. So good luck with your predictions, and we'll see each other after Imola.
Yep,
we most certainly will.